again to stand behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. I pray that you would speak to every heart that's here. Help everyone to be receptive to what's being preached, dear God. Help emotion not to rule here, but help those that are here to understand that what the Bible says is the truth. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you look at the first verse that we just read there in Psalm 147, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." Now, what I want to talk about this morning is the subject of music. Now, if you would flip over to Ephesians chapter number 5, and all throughout that chapter in Psalm 147, the Bible is talking about singing praises to God, praise the Lord for all His righteous acts, the Bible says. But flip over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's see how important music is in the Bible. Now, we know that the longest book in the Bible is a songbook, the book of Psalms. The longest book in the entire Bible, right in the dead center of the Bible. If you were to just flip open your Bible, chances are you might land in the book of Psalms, a psalm book of singing and praises to God. Let me show you how music is important. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Bible reads, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, we would think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, a theme that's carried throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord being upon you or being filled with the Holy Spirit. We would normally think of somebody preaching a great sermon, perhaps. Or maybe we would think of somebody praying in the Holy Ghost, as it says in the book of Jude. But really here, what the Bible associates being filled with the Spirit in this passage and in others, it says, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, music is very spiritual. A lot of people don't understand this, but music is always spiritual. You say, well, I don't know, there's spiritual music and then there's other. Well, no, all music is spiritual and we'll see that. But what is the right kind of music? Do you think that God is just telling us, just sing whatever you want? Sing whatever kind of music you want. If you like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, you like Metallica, just sing, just as long as you're singing, that's all that matters. No, he says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms, that would be singing the actual words of the Bible, hymns, like the hymns in the hymn book here, and spiritual songs. Those are the three types of music that are acceptable to God, and the only three. Hymns, and spiritual songs. But what is the right music? Flip over to 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to show you three categories of what the Bible teaches on what is the right music. Three things from the Bible that define clearly what is the right kind of music. 1 John chapter 2, and look down if you would at verse number 15. The Bible reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, God's making it very clear here that there are only two types of things here. There are the things that are of the Father, and there are the things that are of the world. There's no room for a gray area here. There's no room for it to have another source. God says no. He says, love not the world. He says, because if it's of the world, it's not of the Father. And it's of the Father, then it's not of the world. And he says, all that's in the world. You say, everything? Yes, everything that comes from the world falls into these three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Why? Because it's not of the Father, but it's of the world, the Bible says. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't turn there, but Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So why was music created? For God's pleasure. That's what the Bible says in Revelation 4:11. Because for him all things, for his pleasure, were all things created. And so, if it's not music that brings pleasure to God, if it's not music that's of the Father, then it's the wrong music. Period. Now, beginning in Genesis chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there, but God teaches us throughout the Bible that everything brings forth after its own kind. Everything reproduces after its own kind. the trees, the plants, the animals. God doesn't believe in evolution. He says that dogs bring forth dogs. A plant grows up. Seeds fall from the plant. You're going to find the same plant growing once again. Jesus said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, if the source of the music is wrong, then the music is wrong. It must be of the Father and not of the world. Because if the source of the music is the world is a corrupt tree that God told us not to love. He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And so the corrupt tree of the world, when it produces music, it's going to produce bad music, corrupt music, sinful, wrong music. See, the Bible says in Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You're never going to pull something clean out of something that's unclean. Can you imagine if I were to be walking down the street and I saw somebody who had some kind of a sandwich they were eating, maybe a sub sandwich, and it was cut in half diagonally, and they took half of that sandwich and they ate that sandwich, and they took the other half of the sandwich and they threw it in the garbage can, into a dumpster. Can you imagine me climbing into that dumpster? I mean, let's say somebody else threw some other trash on top of it in the meantime. Somebody came out and emptied the trash. And I jumped in that dumpster, and dug down and said, that's a perfectly good sandwich. I'm going to find that sandwich and eat it. Okay? And I start digging and digging around in the trash, and there's flies and filth everywhere. And I find that sandwich. And boy, it looks like it's intact. It looks like it's in pretty good shape. And I pull that sandwich out and begin to eat that sandwich. Isn't that disgusting? Well, why? The sandwich is fine. No, it's disgusting because of where you got it. That's why it's disgusting. Because you got it out of the trash can. And you know, I guarantee you that if I went to the trash can behind one of these restaurants, let's say Black Angus, my favorite steakhouse. Let's say what behind the restaurant of Black Angus and dug in that trash, I promise you, you'd find some good food in there. Because, you know, a lot of people don't finish their plate. You'd find filet mignon in there. I promise you that. You'd find filet mignon. You'd find a baked potato that's still in the foil. But I'm going to tell you something. If you dig in that trash can to try to find food, you're insane. Okay? And God is saying here, you can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean. Think about this. When you mix something clean and something dirty, it's all dirty. I mean, the clean thing doesn't make the dirty thing cleaner. Okay? For example, think about this. If I were to take a glass of muddy water that's just brown, liquid brown muddy water, okay? And I took a glass of crystal clear ice water. And if I were to pour a few drops of that crystal clear, clean, refreshing ice water into the muddy water, would you see any kind of a change in that muddy water? Would it get any cleaner? No. But if I were to take just one drop of that dirty, muddy water and just put one drop into the ice-cold, clean, clear glass of water, you would watch it just begin to cloud and spread to the entire glass. I mean, you drop in just one drop, it would just be like a cloud until the whole thing be murky and dirty, and you wouldn't want to drink it. That's exactly the way sin is. That's what God teaches in the Bible, is that when you mix something dirty and clean together, it's all dirty. The only way to have something clean is if it's 100% clean. I mean, would you like to have a sandwich that's 90% sandwich? It's only 10% dog pile. Would you like that sandwich? No. I'm sorry to be graphic. But what if it was just 1%? Good night. You're such a stickler. You're so picky. You're one of these picky eaters, huh? Put a nice, good sandwich in front of you. One little thing that you don't like about it, and now you're not going to eat the sandwich. I see how you are. Look, that's ridiculous, okay? If it's dirty, it's dirty. If there's one piece of dirt in it, the whole thing's dirty. It's got to be 100% clean and right. You say, well, this music has some good things about it. What about what we just talked about that's in it? That's the problem that I have with it. Now, look, let me give you an example. Just about, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the world's music, because you ought to just be able to know, just from what I just told you, that anything the world puts out is not going to be good for you to listen to. Just period. So I don't want to dwell on that point. I want to get into some other teaching from the Bible. But we were at the zoo on Friday night. They have extended hours over the summer where you can go to the zoo in the evening. Okay. So we thought, oh, this would be great. It's going to be a little bit cooler, and they have all these lights set up. It was great. And they do this on Friday nights. So we went down to the zoo on Friday night, and we're walking around the zoo. Boy, we had a great time. We're looking at all the animals and walking around. Well, way, way off in the distance, we hear some music playing. Because I guess for this event, they had set up one area where they had some places for the kids to go down a water slide and jump up and down, and they had some radio station there that was handing out flyers and blasting this music. But we couldn't even hear the music the whole time we were there. We're just walking around, looking at all the animals, because we were way far away. The zoo is very big, the one up here by Papago Park. And so we got to the point where we'd made the loop of the zoo, and we pretty much had to cross through that big center area where everyone was congregated, where this music was going from. We had to pass through there to get to a certain animal that we wanted to look at and then to head out to the exit. And as we began to walk toward that area where the music was being played, they're just blasting, you know, rap music. Just blasting it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's like a family event. I mean, it's the zoo. It's not a nightclub. And they're just blasting this raunchy music. And I was just thinking, this is so ridiculous. Why would I want to listen to this at the zoo? You know, do the animals, what do the animals think about that? You know, this is what they're used to, okay? And these are the, so then as we walked up, a new song began, okay? And in the process of walking through this part of the zoo and walking all the way to the exit on our way out, we heard three songs. Okay, you want to know what those three songs were? Just to give you a little, let's just take a little sampling of the world's music, shall we? These are, and my wife can verify this, these are the three songs we heard at the zoo at a children's event as we were walking through. Song number one, YMCA, by the Village People. An openly gay group from the 70s. No secret about the fact that they're homosexual. You say, gay, what's that mean? It means a faggot, okay, just so I can define it for you. I never want to leave you wondering what I'm talking about. But these four queers that are just openly gay, the Village People, singing a song about the Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA, okay, a place where children go swimming, a place where children go to play sports, okay, it's back in the 70s, they're singing a song about how they want young boys to come have a sleepover with them at the YMCA. Now that's a great song, isn't it? A bunch of gay men saying, young man, come and stay with me, young man, be a faggot with me, young man. And hey, they're sitting there singing. You say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Hey, then go down the street. You'll never hear about it. And let America go to hell. Let America go to hell. I'm tired of hearing that song. That song should be banned from the radio as pornographic. You say, well, I didn't know that was what it was about. Well, why don't you think before you listen to music, huh? Why don't you think about four gay men singing about a song about a children's club? Saying that they want to spend the night there because it's fun to stay at the YMCA. No, it's not fun to be defiled. No, it's not fun to be preyed upon by perverts. That's what they're playing at the zoo, my friend. That's what, you like the world's music, huh? Go ahead, leave this church, get in the car, turn on the radio and listen to all the world's trash. All their sin. It's about hurting people. Song number two, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. This is the second song. Look, I'm not picking these songs. This is what was playing at the zoo. Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. Oh, Michael Jackson, who was arrested and brought to trial for having child pornography in his possession. You say, well, he wasn't convicted. He was convicted of having that in his possession. He was convicted for that. Oh, but you like Michael Jackson's music, don't you? Then go ahead and dig in the garbage can of Michael Jackson to get his little song. When he's a predator. So the first two songs are by predators. Okay, what was the third song? Oh, how about this? Oh, Billie Jean, the song with Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who tells me I am the one, but the kid is not my son. How do you like the subject matter of that song? She's not my lover, and the kid's not my son. That's what the song's about. People always told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. Listen to the lyrics to the song. You say, you're nuts, you're a fanatic, you're old-fashioned. Yes, I'm old-fashioned. Yes, I'm nuts. Yes, I'm a fanatic. I'm nuts because I grew up having that music shoved down my throat, and I'm sick of it. I'm going to stand up and preach about it on Sunday morning. Praise God. And so the Bible says, he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise to my God. Not that kind of garbage. What was the third song? Elton John, The Circle of Life. Elton John. Oh, what do these three have in common? They're all gay. Elton John, openly gay. That's what's behind the rock music, my friend. That's what's behind the world's music. And why is that these three songs are being promoted to children? You don't like that, do you? If you don't like it, I don't know why you're here. Okay. Yes, you will hear the truth preached in this church. So number one, music that's not of the Father is the wrong kind of music. The music that's the right kind of music. What is the right music, Pastor Anderson? Number one, it's music that's from the Father, and it's not from this sick world that we live in. Number two, the right kind of music is music that's not conformed to the world. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. See, why do you always preach about this stuff, Pastor Anderson? Look, somebody has to preach about it. I mean, nobody else that I know of is preaching this kind of stuff. Somebody's got to get up and preach about it. And it's going to be me. And so, number one, we saw that music should be of the Father. But number two, not only should music not be from the world, it should not be conformed to the world. What does the word conform mean? Well, if you notice in the word conformed, well, look down at your Bible there in Romans 12:2. The Bible reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, the word conform, if you look at it, do you see the word form, right in the middle, form? The word form means shape, right? If there's a form of something, or if you think about it, it would be like a pattern. Something's conformed, it's patterned after the world. Now, should we listen to music that's patterned after the Village People? Should we listen to music that's patterned after Michael Jackson? Should we listen to music that's patterned after Metallica? Should we listen to music that's patterned after U2? Should we listen to music that's patterned after Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre? Should we listen to music that's conformed to this world, or should we be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I'm going to tell you something. Not only music that's from the world is wrong, but music that's conformed to the world is wrong. You see, if you go into the Christian music stores of today, so-called, you will find music that is just 100% patterned after the world. You know, I had a catalog that I was going to show you, but I lost it this morning, just in getting ready and everything, and I don't know, so I grabbed a few of the old back issues. These are from a couple months ago. But I was looking at this. These look exactly like the world, the CD covers. I was looking at them. I mean, you can almost tell which band they're copying. You know, there's a guy on here that's got these little black braids, like twisted out in all directions. He looks exactly like Coolio. Or Snoop Dogg or whatever. Coolio, I think he was like a one-hit wonder when I was a teenager. I don't know if he's still around. Coolio. He looked like Coolio. And then down in the bottom, there's a little symbol for the explicit lyrics. You know, the explicit lyrics they have on rap music CDs. And I looked at it and I said, explicit lyrics? It's in a Christian catalog. But I looked at it and it says, non-explicit lyrics. But they're trying to look so much like the rap music cover that they actually put a symbol on there that looks like the parental advisory telling you to guard your children. Who knows what the parental advisory? Put up your hand. If you buy CDs at the store, they have a parental advisory for explicit lyrics. Tipper Gore, I think, is the one who came out with that or something when Bill Clinton was in office, to warn you about the filth that's in these CDs. And so they even went as far as to put that on there. That's how much they're conformed to this world. Guys in here with long hair, the Bible says it's a sin to have long hair. Yes, it does. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Everything here looks straight over. Look at this. Here's a clothing that they just came out with. This is right after the CD page. Here's clothing that they came out with. It's got a symbol that looks like the symbol from a rock band, Nine Inch Nails. Okay, a very satanic, evil band, Nine Inch Nails. It's the exact same symbol, but it just says, not of this world. And that's their logo. It's a Christian logo that they're advertising. The guy who's modeling it has a ring in his lip and a ring in his right ear. Two pictures of him with a ring in his lip and a ring in his right ear with a tailored shirt that tailors around the waist so that his body can look like a woman's body. Look at it after the service. It's right here. This is the Christian music catalog. Hey, get on their mailing list and you'll get this every month. If you're a preacher, it comes in handy. And then I was looking through all these. Here's a band called Skillet. Right? Skillet, yeah. That sounds like something that's not patterned after the world at all, is it? Okay, how about this group? Stellar Cart. Okay, it's four men on the front. The CD is hot pink. Okay, you see this? The CD's hot pink. And it looks like the Wiggles. The Wiggles revisited here. This is the Wiggles 5 years later. Look at this trash. Everybody on here looks like they're gay. Everybody on here does not look like a preacher, does not look like Jesus and his disciples would look, does not look like a Christian. It looks like the world. It's patterned after the world. They're advertising in here Bibles that look like a teen magazine. Bible zines, they're called. Boys, boyfriends tell all, it says, on the front of a New Testament. I'm not kidding. Go down there and look at it. It's the New Testament. And it has the text of the Bible in the columns, and it's filled with advertisements and pictures to make it look like a teen magazine. And of course, it's not the King James Bible. It's the today's modern ecumenical perversion, or whatever it is. And, you know, there was no room for him in the inn. There was no room in the hospital, it says, in this particular version of Jesus. Instead of no room in the inn. There's no room in the hospital, you know. And then in this Bible zine, it has advertisements about girlfriends and boyfriends, and it's made to look like a teen magazine. See, it's conformed to the world, my friend. Why? Because it's all about money, 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 money. That's why. So number one, you want music that's of the Father, not of the world. Number two, you want music that's transformed and that is not patterned after the world's music. Look, Christian rock and roll is a pattern after the world's rock and roll. It's garbage. Christian rap is patterned after the world's rap music. It's trash. Do you think that the Christian community, so-called, invented rock music? No. They learned it from queers like Little Richard. They learned it from dope addicts like Elvis Presley. They learned it from heroin addicts like Ray Charles, who are some of the pioneers of rock and roll music. And that's where they learned it from. They learned it from the Beatles. They learned it from John Lennon. Imagine there's no heaven. Do-do-do-do-do. That's a real godly song, isn't it? The first words are, imagine there's no heaven. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine there's no God. Imagine no religion. Think about how happy the world will be without religion. That's foolishness. John Lennon's burning in hell right now. I don't want to hear his music, and I don't want to hear some Christian so-called money monger patterning their music after John Lennon. God help us. God help us. But number three, the right kind of music. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. The right kind of music. What is the right kind of music? Well, number one, we see that it's got to be of the Father. It's got to come from God. It's got to come from God's people. Number two, it can't be conformed to this world at all. But number three, and I think this is an important point here. Number three, it should be music that teaches. Music that teaches something. Think about the book of Psalms, the great truths that are taught. You know, those are actually songs. In the book of Psalms, you have 150 songs. Look how dense they are with Bible doctrine. Huh? They tell stories of the Old Testament in the book of Psalms about Moses. They tell stories about Jesus Christ when he was on this earth prophetically into the future. They tell stories about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. They tell great stories of God's people. They tell the praises of God and how wonderful God is. They teach great Bible doctrine about the Word of God, like Psalm 119, which every single verse in Psalm 119 mentions the Bible. All 176 verses. Look if you would at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the Bible says here, when you're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you're teaching. Okay? So if you're listening to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you are being taught. Now let me ask you something. Why do you come to an independent fundamental Baptist church? Because you want someone to teach you who believes the Bible cover to cover, who believes every word of the Bible. You want someone to be teaching you who doesn't live a worldly life. You want somebody to get up and teach you who's not going to go home and turn on the television and watch the world. You want somebody to teach you who has spent his day yesterday memorizing and reading the Bible, not filling his mind with the cesspool of the world, watching all the Budweiser and all the sports and all the partying on TV and all the movies. Hey, you want somebody to be teaching you who believes the Bible's God's Word, who's a man of God, who's filled with the Spirit of God, right? Somebody who believes Baptist doctrine, like salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The free gift of salvation, not of works. Not by living a good life, not by being a good person, but free salvation. You want to listen to somebody teach you or preach you, right? Who believes in baptism by immersion, like Jesus was baptized underwater? You want to have somebody preach you, right, that believes that every word of God is pure and that the King James Bible is the Word of God? Don't you want to come to church and have somebody teach you who believes that Jesus is God in the flesh? Don't you want to have somebody teach you that believes in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one? Don't you want to have somebody teach you the Bible who believes the doctrines of the faith? Okay. Well, when you turn on these Christian CDs that are from the charismatics, that are from the liberals, that are from the non-denominational crowd, who's teaching you the Bible? You say, well, no, I'm not being taught the Bible. I'm just listening to music. The Bible here says that you're being taught the Bible. Do you want to be taught the Bible by a United Methodist? You want to be taught the Bible by a Roman Catholic? You want to be taught the Bible by Lutherans and Presbyterians? You want to be taught the Bible by new evangelicals and charismatics? You want to be taught the Bible by someone who believes that the Bible is written by a man and that it has mistakes in it? You want to be taught the Bible by someone who believes that Jesus is not God? He's just the Son of God and he's a created being? Do you want to listen to the Bible being taught by someone who believes that whatever Bible you want is fine? The hospital Bible zine is fine. Is that who you want teaching you the Bible? Maybe you ought to re-examine the Christian music in your library, because you should only be taught the Bible by people who are saved. Wouldn't that be a good place to start? Like, make sure that the people that are teaching the Bible are even saved? Because I'm going to tell you something. People who believe that you work your way to heaven by doing good works are not saved. People who believe that Jesus was just a man are not saved. People who believe you can lose your salvation, now I'm saved, now I'm not, now I'm saved, now I'm not. Did you know that they're not saved? Because they're not trusting Jesus Christ as Savior? Did you know that people who believe in evolution and they say that the Bible's a fairy tale in the first three chapters, did you know that they're not saved? Because they call God a liar? Now listen. When you're listening to Christian music, you're being taught, whether you know it or not. Now, the positive example here is that God says you should be singing songs to one another that are teaching you the Bible. Okay, songs that teach. Here are some good examples. And by the way, let me just shed some light for you on the modern day music industry. Whether it be independent fundamental Baptist music, or whether it be the Christian music, the CCM, Christian contemporary music, or the Southern gospel music. Let me shed some light on it for you. It's all about money. If you go to the concerts of these Christian artists that you buy at the Christian bookstore, you will have to pay money to get in. Did you know that? They will sell tickets at the door. You know how much the tickets are? Like $20. I've been to a Christian rock concert. When I was a teenager, before I knew these things, when I was a teenager, I went to a Christian rock concert. It cost me like $25 to get in. Times that by the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are coming through those doors. We're talking about a multi-million dollar industry of selling CDs for $16 a pop and rock concert tickets for $25 each. Now, let's think for a second. Let's say Pastor Anderson decided to put out his long-awaited debut solo album. Okay? Pastor Anderson, Unplugged. Okay? Now listen, if I wanted to put out a CD like that, okay, what do you think is going to be cheaper and make me more money? To put out 100 CDs or to put out like 100,000 CDs? 100,000 CDs, right? That's where you're going to get the big, you know, mass produce some, you know, get the big money coming in. Now let me ask some. Are there 100,000 people? Are there 100 million people who want to listen to music that gives them the doctrine of everything that I preach here? Like independent, fundamental, King James only, salvation by grace through faith, and on all down the list, preaching against sin and all that. I mean, do you think there's really that big of a market out there of independent, fundamental, King James only, door-to-door, soul-winning, radical type people that really want to buy Pastor Anderson's new CD? No. We're going to have trouble getting that first 100 out off of that. Everybody here is going to have to buy one, okay? But anyway, no. So look, in order for me to market this thing to the masses, to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, I'm going to have to make sure that I don't bring up anything that's divisive, right? I mean, if I talk about Jesus, right? Jesus died on the cross. We all love Jesus. Let's all worship Jesus. Is that going to offend anyone? That doesn't offend anybody. I mean, who's offended by praise the name of the Lord? I mean, that doesn't offend anybody, right? So if I want to make the maximum money, okay, I'm going to write songs that are very vague. You know, they don't really contain real specific doctrine, but they're just kind of vaguely talking about Jesus, God, the Bible, salvation in very vague terms, right? Because I want to get this, because then, if I do that, I mean, now I can market it not just to Baptists. I mean, I can market it to all the denominations, Mormons even, you know, Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they can all like it because it's just about God. It's about Jesus. Now, here's the problem with that. You say, well, what's wrong with talking about Jesus? Nothing. But the problem with that is that because this is the motivation behind all the music that's being put out today, you say, how do you know that's the motivation? Because it's all being sold. Because none of it's being made just for free. People aren't just writing the songs just for the glory of God. It's all being sold. So if something's being sold, whenever you're selling something, your motivation is to make money. Okay? And so because all of the music that's coming out now is being sold for money, well, now you're basically coming out with music that has no Bible doctrine being taught in the music. It's just vaguely about God. And so what happens is, you're no longer teaching and admonishing one another. You're not learning anything about the Bible. You're just chanting the same things over and over about Jesus and God. Now, is that the right kind of music if it doesn't teach you anything? No, not according to God. God said music should be teaching and admonishing. Admonishing is like preaching. It should be teaching and preaching to you through the music. Let me give you an example. Think about some songs in the hymnal. The song, for example, "To God Be the Glory." Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Now let's listen to some of the Bible doctrine in the song. Verse number 2. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. Yeah, the blood right there. To every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. That's pretty clear doctrine, isn't it? It's all by faith. The moment you believe, it doesn't matter how vile of an offender you are, the moment you believe, that moment from Jesus a pardon you receive. Praise the Lord. That's a good song. Okay? It says that salvation happens in a moment. That's not what most Christians, so-called religions, believe. They say, well, I'm working on it. I'm trying. I'm living a good life. No, it's to every believer the promise of God. Okay, great song, right? What about this song? Verily, verily. Though all unworthy, yet I will not doubt. For him that cometh, he will not cast out. He that believeth, oh, the good news shout, hath, present tense, everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. Though poor and needy, I can trust my Lord. Though weak and sinful, I believe his word. Yes, I'm sinful, but I'm saved because I'm a believer, he's saying. Though weak and sinful, I believe his word. Oh, glad message, every child of God hath everlasting life. See, these songs in our hymnal teach a lot of great Bible doctrine, don't they? Learn a lot of great things. I was thinking about the song, Jesus paid it all. Lord, nothing good have I, whereby to thy grace to claim. All washed my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's some great teaching. But you know what? A lot of people wouldn't agree with those three songs that I just mentioned. You're not going to sell that to the masses, my friend. You're not going to sell that on the Billboard Top 100. Now think about this song. There's a great song in the hymnal called Only a Sinner. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Now, in an independent fundamental Baptist church, that's not the song that you hear anymore. I'm talking about an independent fundamental Baptist church. You'll hear a new song called Sinner Saved by Grace, which to me is kind of a ripoff, like, hello, that song was already written, sir. But Bill Gaither, the legend of Southern Gospel, Bill Gaither, superstar of Southern Gospel, almost a household name if you know anything about Christian music or Baptist or Southern Gospel, Bill Gaither. Okay, Bill Gaither has written a song, and I've heard this in almost every independent fundamental Baptist church I've been in recent years. It's always in their hymnal. The new hymnal put out by North Valley Publications, Santa Clara, California, Dr. Jack Treber, has, I believe, 30 songs by Bill Gaither in it, who's not a fundamental Baptist at all. He does not believe the truth at all, and he sings with a bunch of long-haired freakos at these Southern Gospel concerts that he charges money for. And last time I saw a picture of him, he had his arm around Billy Graham in the Christian bookstore. Him and Billy Graham with their arm around each other in a life-size cardboard cutout. But listen to the words to his song, Sinner Saved by Grace. Okay, just to give you an idea of the lack of doctrine. If you could see what I once was, if you like this, don't you? If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now look, think about the words in the song. Nothing about faith, nothing about believe, nothing about being saved. It's just all about, if you could see what I once was, now you'll see how different I am now that I'm a sinner saved by grace. So you see, instead of the song that glorified God, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace, which said, Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it, since I have believed, boasting excluded, pride I abase, I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. Now look, boasting excluded, pride, he said, it was nothing to me. He said, I believed on Jesus Christ. And it's all what he did. This song is glorifying the fact how, oh, you should see how I used to be, what a sinful life I lived. But now, man, I'm living right. Look, is that salvation? Turning over a new leaf? Going from how bad you were to now you're just so good. But there's no faith, no belief mentioned. And although the song is not teaching, per se, false doctrine, it leaves out a lot of great doctrine by not telling you any doctrine. I mean, that song could be sung in a Mormon church, in a Catholic church, in a Presbyterian church, in a Methodist church, any kind of church. Why? Because there's no doctrine. And because all of these work salvation churches would love to sing a song that emphasizes the change in your life instead of emphasizing what God emphasizes, Jesus' blood on the cross and you believing by faith and being born again. To God be the glory. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, if you could see what I once was. I'm so tired of these testimonies in churches glorifying all this. Man, I gave up this when I came to Christ, and I gave up this, and I gave up this, and I gave up this. You didn't give up anything. You gave up nothing. You didn't give up anything that was worth anything. And if you gave up stuff and that's how you got saved, then you're not even saved. Because I got saved just by believing on Jesus. Okay? There's still things that I should probably give up. We should all be giving things up. Hey, that's not salvation. Okay? How about this song? You don't like that one. How about this song? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Look, where's the doctrine in the song? Our God's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Repeat 573 times. And you got the song. And it just keeps going up a note. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Okay, look. What does that have to do with anything? You could sing it in a Catholic church, Mormon church, Presbyterian church, Methodist church, Episcopalian church, African Methodist Episcopalians of Zion, Reformed, Reunited, Church of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, denomination of the First Church of the Deep Freeze. Hey, you can sing it anywhere! Why? Because it has no doctrine! Because it doesn't have anything specific in it. It's just this mindless chanting. That's what it is. Read the book of Psalms and read the great doctrine, the teaching, the admonishing of godly Christian music through the years. We've come a long way, baby, haven't we? We've come a long way from verily, verily, to God be the glory. Blessed assurance, Jesus paid it all. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Am I a soldier of the cross? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. To our God is an awesome God. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship. No, it's not the same. It's different. If you can't tell the difference, I don't know what to tell you. If you can't tell the difference between old-fashioned hymns and spiritual songs and great music and this new stuff that's all a bunch of touchy-feely, emotional pattern after the world, sissified, lack-of-doctrine-type music. But look, if you would, at, well, don't look anywhere. I'm just going to read these for you. I'm going to read these verses off for you. You say, why, Pastor Anderson, have we gone from doctrinal songs that taught the Bible to praise worship music? The reason is because of money, because they want to market it to as vast of an audience as possible. Why do you think, and look, this makes me so sad. You know, you can go down the list of all these different organizations. Whenever I go to, whenever I get a newsletter in my email inbox, or I get some kind of an advertisement in my email inbox telling me about some ministry, you know what I do? I go up to the edit menu. Those of you who are computer geeks like myself, go up to the edit menu, find on this page, I just type in the word Baptist. Zero results found, delete. Oh, but wait a minute. The Christian Law Association is an independent fundamental Baptist. Oh, really? Because I just got their newsletter in the mail. It doesn't say the word Baptist anywhere. It didn't say King James Bible anywhere. It didn't say fundamental Baptist anywhere. It didn't use the word Baptist anywhere. Why? Because he wants to be able to preach at every denomination. He wants to be able to reach out to everybody. And hands across the water, you know. Let's just reach out and just be a part of everybody. Let's all get together and join together. I'm tired of any organization. Worldwide Christian Ministries, Inc., Dr. Tom Williams. You forgot a word. It's called Baptist. Oh, yeah, you're not a Baptist. That's right. You're a liberal. And so that's what I'm talking about. People who won't say what they are. I'm a Baptist. Faithful Word Community Church? No. Faithful Word Baptist Church. Why? Because we're not afraid to say who we are. We're not ashamed to say who we are. You say, but wait a minute. People might not come to your church if it's Baptist. So what? People won't listen to your CD because it's Baptist. Well, then they can go listen to a different CD then. People will not want to come to your preaching conference if it's King James only Baptist. Well, so what? But then you're not going to make as much money. Well, we don't sell anything. That's why we're not motivated by money. That's why you come to Faithful Word Baptist Church, you're going to hear preaching straight down the line from the Bible because there's no money involved. We don't even care about money. Money means nothing to us around here. And that's why the CDs are free. That's why the activities are free. That's why coming to church is free. That's why everything's free. Because money is not the issue. Serving God is the issue. Now listen. Church, we went through the three types of music that you should look for in music. Number one, is it from the Father or is it of the world? Number two, does it sound like the world? Does it conform to the world? Would you confuse it for the world? Would you confuse this song for the world? Would you confuse, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Wait, is that Garth Brooks? Or no, wait a minute, who sings that song? Is that Dr. Dre's new album? No, see, there's no confusing it at all. You just immediately know, okay, it's church music. It's not from the worlds of the Father. So we saw that it shouldn't be conformed to the world, it shouldn't sound like the world. And number three, it should be teaching good Bible doctrine. It should be a teaching type song and not just a shallow chanting again and again and again. But let me tell you something else in closing here. Church is a place to sing music, not to listen to music. Did you hear that? Church, and look, I don't care whether you agree with that or not. I'm going to show you what the Bible says, okay? Church is not a place to come and listen to music. If it is, then show me where in the Bible it says that church is a place to come and listen to music. Church is a place to sing music. Church is a place for you to sing music, not for you to come and listen to other people sing music. We live in a day of spectators and not participants. What do people do? Do they go out and play sports on Sunday? No, they sit on the couch and they turn on TV and watch sports. Do they go out and see the world and live life to the fullest? No, they sit on a couch and watch everyone else's life instead of living their own life. And so nowadays, when people come to church, you know what they want to do? They want to just sit down, get comfortable, relax, and have other people get up and entertain them. They want to be a spectator. You ought not come to church to be a spectator. You ought to come to church and participate in the service. Now, coming to church and listening to singing is not in the Bible. Singing in church is in the Bible many times. Let me read you some scriptures. Hebrews 2:12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Matthew 26:30, this is the Last Supper. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. When Peter had sung an hymn, when Peter sung, Our God's an Awesome God, then they adjourned to the Mount of Olives. When Peter stood up and wowed everyone with his singing ability, they all went to the mountain. No, they sung in him. Wouldn't it have been great to be there? The 11 disciples and Jesus Christ singing the hymn. Now look, I wouldn't want to be there and listen to them sing. I would have wanted to be there singing with them. I want to be participating. Okay. Isaiah 38:20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Did you hear that? We will sing the songs of God to the sound of the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. In church, he says. Psalm 149:1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Your job as a Christian is to be singing praises to God in the congregation here. In the congregation of saints. Think about the two verses that we looked at before. You don't have to turn back there, but Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Now, does that sound like you're listening? No. The word yourselves, it doesn't say speaking to thyself. That would be singular. He says, speaking to yourselves. So you're all singing and you're all being spoken to. Do you understand that? That's everybody singing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You see that? See, when we're all singing, we're all teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. It's not one person's teaching and one person's listening to the teaching. No, it's a one another thing. It's to yourselves is what's being taught here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't ever, and you may disagree with me on this, and you know what, go ahead and have your opinion. I don't ever listen to any music at all. I never, ever listen to any. You say, what about this? No. I do not own one music CD in my entire library. I don't have one single music MP3 on my computer. I do not listen to any music at all. Period. Why? Because the Bible never mentions anywhere anyone listening to music. Except one. One person I can think of in the Bible who listened to music. That's King Saul. Okay? It's the only person you'll find in the Bible listening. Now, what kind of music was he listening to? The right kind of music. He was listening to godly, spiritual, righteous music played by the harp at the hand of David. He thought that that Christian music was going to solve his spiritual problem with God. Okay, he had disobeyed God. He had rebelled against God. And so the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was not resting upon him anymore. Because this is before the New Testament when people were dwelled by the Holy Spirit. This is when it was just the external, the Holy Ghost was upon him because he was the King of Israel. Was removed. And the Bible says an evil spirit from the Lord came and troubled him. Not a demon. Not a devil. Okay, a spirit from God came and troubled him. Okay. Now, he had a spiritual problem, wouldn't you say so? Because he had disobeyed God two different times, and God had rejected him as king. What should he have done? He should have got on his knees and said, God, I'm sorry for the sins that I've done, and I'm going to stop sinning, I'm going to start doing right. Okay. He shouldn't have corrected his life. But the people who were counseling him gave him bad advice. They told him, here's what you need to do, Saul. Oh, you got a bad spirit, you have a bad attitude, you got a problem with God. Here's what you do. You listen to Christian music. It'll make you spiritual. So what they do, they brought in this Christian music. David came and played on the harp. And what happened? Saul was refreshed and he felt great. And the evil spirit departed. And he was doing great, right? Oh, okay, it does work. Yeah, but look down two chapters later. You'll see him again. See, temporarily it worked. It was a temporary little fix. But you see, just one to two chapters later, the same man Saul, the evil spirit's troubling him again. He calls for David to come play with the harp and to sing before him. And what happens? It didn't leave. It didn't help. It didn't solve anything. And what did he do? He took a javelin and tried to kill David while he was listening to his Christian CD. He pulled out a javelin and was ready to kill the man of God, David. Now, do you see how that's the only example in the Bible? A man who is warped, a man who's rebelling against God, a man who does not have the power of God on his life, who God is not blessing, is trying to use music as a quick fix to a deeply rooted spiritual problem. That's the only time in the Bible anybody ever listens to music. Period. Prove me wrong after the service. Come to me and show me in the Bible anyone else listening to music in the Bible. Because it's not there. Now, what does the Bible say about music? Now, you say, well, Pastor Anderson, don't you like music? I love music. I love music. Okay? God loves music, right? The book of Psalms, biggest book in the Bible, a songbook. He commands us to sing to him. It said in Psalm 147 where we began reading. He commands us to sing in church. He tells us to be filled with the Spirit, singing the great songs of the faith. But see, he commanded us to sing music. So what do? I drive down the road in my car. I have the hymnal with me, or I have the songs memorized. I drive down the road and I sing the songs in this book. What radio station do you listen to? None. Oh, well, what CDs do you have in the player? None. I do have CDs in there. That's the Bible on CD by Alexander Skirby reading the Bible, or maybe preaching CDs. What tapes do you bring? None. This is what I bring. This is the CD player right here. You say, wow, is this stereo? Oh, it's stereo. Surround sound? Surround sound. Make a bass? Well, not really. That's not really my tone of singing. Oh. But anyway, this is my stereo system right here. And I promise you that God is more pleased when I open this book, driving down the road, or sing from my memory, and I sing at the top of my voice, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, don't you think that pleases God? To sing out the praises of God at the top of your lungs? Don't you think it blesses God when they hear my children swinging on the swing set, singing at the top of their lungs the hymns out of this hymn book? Do you think God is pleased with that? Or do you think God is pleased when you turn on some CD that you bought for money from some artist somewhere? Some superstar. Some big name star singer somewhere. Let me read you some scriptures and I'll close with this list of scriptures. Just listen as the Bible speaks to you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Isaiah 24:14. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Isaiah 12:5. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Psalm 149:5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. You hear that? Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Psalm 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Psalm 109:30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my iPod. No, I'm sorry. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. You hear that? Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Jeremiah 20:13. Sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Psalm 147:7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Psalm 147:1. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. Psalm 146:2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Psalm 145:7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Do you see a pattern developing here? Did you notice how the ears are never mentioned? Did you notice how it's all mouth, tongue, lips, voice, sing? I don't know, this might be a pattern that we're seeing develop in this list of scriptures. Psalm 144:9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Psalm 138:5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 135:3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 108:3, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Psalm 108:1, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Psalm 105:2, sing unto him. Now, do you notice that these are imperative commands? Sing unto him. Sing the praises. Praise the Lord. Is he saying, if you want? If you want to, sing about God. If you want to, sing the praises of God. No, he says all day long. As long as your soul happens to be in church, at home, in your bed, walking down the street, he says, sing to the Lord a new song. Is that an option? No, he's commanding you to sing these songs. You say, well, I don't like to sing. You need to learn to love to sing. And you need to learn to love to sing the right kind of songs, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. You say, I have a bad voice. You don't have a bad voice. You know why you think you have a bad voice? Because you're comparing it to Britney Spears or what the world says is a good voice. I wouldn't let the world be my standard. Hey, God gave you the voice that you have. He must like it or else he wouldn't have given it to you. If he didn't like your voice, he wouldn't have given you that voice. You don't think God could create you any way that he wanted to? Hey, God likes your voice. Come to church and sing out the song. Sing it loud. He said to sing it loud in these verses. Sing it loud when you're at your house, when you're driving down the road. Me and my family, we drive down the road in the van with me and my wife and the kids. Hey, we sing the praises of God as a family. You're going to compare that to popping in some CD? There's no comparison. Come on. You know there's no comparison at all. Don't you love to come to church because you're the one singing? I get so bored. Every once in a while, I'll go to some preaching conference somewhere or sit in some other church somewhere on a weeknight or something when they're having special services. And whenever they have people get up and sing solos, I'm bored out of my mind. I'll be honest with you. I just get bored. When the choir is singing, boring. And you know, it's funny because when I bring my kids, like my kids, they're used to me, right? When I bring my kids, when the choir gets up to sing or when somebody gets up and sings a solo, they start singing along. And people are looking at them like, what are you doing? You know, somebody will be up there singing. And if it's one of the hymns, you know, if it's one of the songs that they know, the kids will just start singing along. Sometimes I just start singing along. Hey, I come to church to sing, not to watch, not to listen, not to hear. I came to sing. And so, hey, when you go to one of these churches, start singing. See what they do. And don't sing if it's Bill Gaither, you know. But sing if it's one of these good songs. Let me see, where was I on my list here? Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Now, look, did you know that this command to sing and the command to praise God is more prevalent than most of the commands that you know? You'll find more times that God tells you to sing and praise than how many times he said, thou shalt not steal. Okay? It's a very prevalent thing. God is telling you this hundreds. I didn't even make a complete list here. I'm not even going to read the whole list. It's too many. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times it's a command from God. Do you think it's important? I think it's very important if God emphasizes it this much. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. Psalm 104:33. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of a psalm. Who are we supposed to be singing to, by the way? To a crowd for money? No, to God. That's who's supposed to be pleased with our singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. You say, what's the volume I'm supposed to sing when we sing these songs? Loud. Okay? Loud. I don't measure my singing in quality. I measure it in quantity. Okay? I don't measure the quality of my singing by quality. I measure it by how loud am I singing. Okay? When I've taught people how to lead singing before, I just say, sing louder! 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 Sing loud! You say, well, I don't have a good voice. Sing loud anyway. And the Bible says that God will be pleased if you sing loud. Make a joyful noise. Maybe it's more like a noise. Maybe this verse applies to you. Okay? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now we're getting on your level, right? I made a loud noise. Okay, well, it's all you're trying to sing. Okay? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Can you make a loud noise? And rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He redeemed Jerusalem. Isaiah 42:10. Sing unto the Lord a new song. What does it mean, the new song? It's not the old song that you sang before you got saved, is what he's saying. Sing a new song now that you're saved. Ditch your old worldly music. And his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now the Bible's clear, isn't it? Now, you know, people always act like I'm crazy. There's certain things that I believe that people just think I'm insane. Like, we don't have any special music here. We only sing congregational songs. Weirdo. Look. What could be more clear about what I just showed you out of the Bible? Like 50 verses. I don't understand why that's weird to say that I don't listen to any music. Oh, are you some kind of a freak? Huh? You like a hermit or something? I think I'm going to start wearing a big hood around. Like a robe and tie it with like a piece of rope and have like this big dark hood. It's like, oh, Pastor Anderson's here. He never listens to music. He never watches TV. You know, I come in just like take my hood off and turn in your Bible to Psalm 147. Hey, look, this is some core basic Bible teaching that God wants you to sing. And if he didn't say anywhere to listen to music, and he said like 500 times to sing music, which one do you think we should be spending our time doing? You say, well, is it a sin to listen to music? Well, no, it's not a sin to listen to music because God never mentioned listening to music, and things are only sins that God told you not to do. He didn't tell you not to do it because he didn't even mention it. But why would I spend my time doing something that God didn't even mention when I could spend my time doing the thing that he mentioned 500 times? I mean, just think about that for a minute. It's just like last Sunday morning sermon. The same thing. Why would I spend my time doing something, handing out tracts that God never mentioned? When I only have so much time in the day to work my job that I work, my fire alarm job, to pastor this church, to preach in church, to sing the songs in church, to go out and knock doors and win souls to Christ, to spend time with my wife, to spend time teaching my children, when would I have time to be listening to a bunch of music when God didn't tell me to? When would I have time to be passing out tracts, which God never even mentioned? When I'm too busy opening my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, as he said. See, remember Peter, and I'm closing with this. Peter cast the net into the sea all night long, worked hard, slaved, and toiled, and he caught nothing. And he woke up in the morning after slaving and toiling and working his fingers to the bone all night long. And Jesus said to him, let down your nets for a draught. And he said, you know what? Jesus, we toiled all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net, singular. He said, let down the nets, plural. He said, well, we'll let down the net. We'll put one in. And they dropped in that net and they took up so many fishes that the net broke. Because he told them to use two for more. They used one. It was so many fishes, it broke. They filled the ship and the ship of their companions and the boats began to sink because they were so filled with fish. What was the difference? Because one was him doing everything the way he wanted to do it. And then the other one was, nevertheless, at thy word. I'll do it your way, Jesus. And that's where you'll see the results. Not just God's message, God's methods. God's methods are singing yourself, not listening. And that's why we never, as long as I'm in charge, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, there will never be special music in this church unless I'm singing it during a sermon. All right? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we're never going to have people get up here and perform music. It will always be congregational singing. And I hope that as long as Faithful Word Baptist Church exists, even after I'm gone, which I don't ever plan on being gone, but eventually everybody's gone. Hey, I hope that this church never has people come up and perform. I hope this never becomes American Idol Baptist Church. Or Star Search Baptist Church, where we get up and shine our talent. But where we, as the saints of God, as the congregation of saints, as the church of God, all lift up our voices with one accord and sing the great songs of the faith and make a joyful noise to God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you so much and thank you so much for this great teaching in the Bible. Father, thank you so much for the songs that you've given us. I know that throughout the week, sometimes I'll be feeling down, or I'll be maybe not in the best mood, or a little bit heaviness. But God, when I start to sing the songs out of the hymnal, boy, my spirits are lifted. Boy, am I filled with the spirit of joy and gladness when I begin to sing these songs, dear God. And I'm sure that you're pleased as well. Father, please help every single person in this room to know the joy of what it is to lift up their voice to God and sing praises to God. God, please help them throughout the week, not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but throughout the week, driving down the road, in their house, on their beds, to lift up their voice and sing the praises of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.